I'm Tina, and you're listening to This Ugly Beauty Business. Today, I'm going to live up to the name of this blog and get very vicious about something that I'm feeling particularly passionate about right now. But first, a quick disclaimer. The article this podcast is based on is about girl bosses. However, after writing this post, I discovered that the girl boss hashtag movement actually spawned from a brand that was based on a book and or a website. I've actually linked both in the original article on This Ugly Beauty Business, and I did subscribe to the girl boss website because it looked freaking rad. But this post isn't about either of those things. It's about the so-called entrepreneurs who use this hashtag while recklessly diving into industries they don't understand with boundless enthusiasm but zero actual experience. This article was written to serve as a wake-up call to aspiring salon owners who fit this description and as a loud warning to professionals who should avoid these founders/CEOs at all costs. So let's get started. Listen up, hashtag girl boss, hashtag entrepreneur. Why don't you go ahead and put down the selfie stick so we can have a chat? Before you post yet another Motivational Monday platitude to Instagram about your plans to disrupt the industry and continue this process of self-delusion to the point that you completely blind yourself to your lack of preparedness, experience, and confidence, let me be the first to inform you that a salon is not a fashion accessory. Just because you've patronized salons in the past does not mean you have the slightest clue how to operate one. It's a real business with real employees who will need real leadership to pay their very real bills. Maybe nobody told you this before, probably because in your extreme arrogance you never thought to ask or research it, but nothing you're doing is revolutionary, fresh, or hashtag unique. I know this runs counter to what your life coach and brand consultant are probably telling you, but you aren't disrupting anything. There you are in your mid-20s, your crisp MBA or marketing degree in hand, thinking you can conquer the world and become an instant millionaire. You imagine yourself on the glossy pages of Inc. or Forbes, standing confidently in your modern, game-changing salon, every word surrounding your image praising your vision and proclaiming you a force to be reckoned with. There you go, poring over the impeccably designed websites of other millennial bullshit artists turned salon owners, taking notes on their smug, self-congratulatory about pages where they boast their eco-friendly, non-toxic, vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, gluten-free, sulfate-free, preservative-free products, and rhapsodizing about their community outreach, ethical employment practices, and corporate charity mission. Never outright proclaiming themselves the saviors of the industry, but heavily implying it. The way these girl bosses tell it, this industry they have no experience in was spiraling into chaos before they came along. There you sit with your unblemished credit, opening a $250,000 loan, submitting grant proposals, and or accepting $250,000 from investors, thinking, how hard could it be? I'm educated and qualified. I can do this. You may be educated, but you are certainly not qualified. Your business plan is printed on glossy paper, contained in a branded folder. Inside, words like ultra-luxe, bespoke, exclusive, boutique, and curated litter every page. You think you know what each of them mean and how they apply to the business, but you're wrong about that, just like you're wrong about pretty much everything you think you know about salon ownership. You don't want to run a business. You want the bragging rights that come with owning one. Your grossly misplaced priorities make your intentions clear. You spend your days poring over logos, color swatches, and furniture, adding so much to your gold-framed inspiration board that the weight of those fabric samples and interior design cutouts is about to cause it to rip right out of the wall. Your goal isn't to create a great workplace or a sustainable company that provides customers with superior service. Your goal is to create a Pinterest-perfect, Instagrammable lifestyle, continuously refining and enhancing the online shrines you built to worship yourself and inspire envy in others. It's childish, and those of us who actually work in this industry are embarrassed for you. You have done no research. You have no experience. If you did, you would see how tremendously silly you look, like a starry-eyed teenager planning her dream wedding. You don't care about legal compliance, the needs or wants of real customers, or the fact that the people stupid or desperate enough to accept a job from you will be forced to suffer for your poor choices. You haven't even opened your first location, but already you're preparing your ridiculously unoriginal franchise pitch for a concept you don't even realize isn't unique enough to justify licensing. It's a lot easier to design a sleek brand and sell it to other hashtag girl bosses than it is to work hard and grow a business to elevate your employees. Am I right? Pro tip. If it seems so easy, it's either because you have no idea what you're getting into or it's just a dumb idea. When it comes to franchising concept salons, it's definitely the latter. Entrepreneurs like you burn hot and fast, cycling into and out of this industry in 2 years or less, once they realize they aren't the visionary business mastermind they thought they were. They leave bitter and bruised with a legion of disappointed, displaced professionals in their wake, moving on to the next get-rich or at least look-good-on-Instagram venture. Maybe a rustic-themed coffee shop with a library of books written by indie authors, or a subscription box company that provides curated costume jewelry and exotic herbal teas. Perhaps instead of following in their footsteps, you'll decide to stay in what you ostentatiously refer to as the beauty space and become some kind of salon strategy guru, attempting to teach other naive girl bosses how to achieve that which you could not, claiming nice chunks of their abundant startup capital in the process. When that time comes, the veterans of this industry who snickered as you rose and smirked as you fell will still be here, and we'll remember. We'll sit around restaurant tables after a long day at a trade show, each one of us shaking our heads and exchanging knowing looks, frowning into our cups when we think of the damage you've done to the professionals you've burned and the amateurish, lunatic entrepreneurial experiment you designed to serve nothing but your own vanity. These reckless forays into salon ownership leave real victims behind, a consequence most of you girl bosses never stop to consider as you're hashtagging your way to social media fame. For us consultants, you will be the cautionary tale we tell. Your impulsive follies will be the examples we use when we list the many things aspiring salon owners should never do if they wish to be successful. You will be the archetype we point to when warning professionals about which employers to avoid. We will strive to rein in other girl bosses like you and shape them into respectable, responsible, knowledgeable, confident, practical, powerful employers whose businesses will endure long after their girl boss enthusiasm and Pinterest passion burn out. Aspiring girl bosses, please do yourselves and your future employees the favor of taking the time to do your research. Learn what it really means to be a business owner. Salon ownership isn't easy or insanely profitable. Most of the time, it isn't even very fun. People will be relying upon you to provide them with a livable income. These professionals don't owe you anything but the time you're paying them for. They aren't your partners, your besties, or your servants. They're not present to witness your journey or support your project. It's not their job to make sacrifices in your name. They're trusting you with their career and their livelihood. They're your employees and you are their leader. Being an employer is a lot of hard work and a lot of responsibility. If you aren't prepared to handle that responsibility, if you think salon ownership looks like a fun, cool, or fashionable hobby, if you have the audacity to believe that you're somehow capable of running a business you have absolutely no experience in, please stop now. Professionals, be wary of girl bosses. They're easy to spot by their impulsiveness, recklessness, and impractical and baseless ideas gleaned from the presentations they watched at the latest Entrepreneur Empowerment Seminar. They'll be enthusiastic beyond measure in a way that may be exciting and contagious, but don't confuse that enthusiasm for competence. Ask tough questions and demand meaningful answers that aren't buried in flashy, obfuscating marketing language. Seeing a new business come to fruition can be incredibly rewarding, but nothing is worse than being sucked into a doomed-to-fail venture headed by an inept amateur. Every time you move to a new workplace, you risk losing a chunk of your clientele. If the exuberant entrepreneur drives her super fun business into the ground in the first year the way 85% of new salon owners do, you'll be the one stuck picking up the pieces of your fractured clientele when it's all over. Now, of course, this entire portion of the podcast is completely unscripted. I'm just firing off my mouth at thoughts I'm having. But in my entire career, I have never seen a generation come of age and enter the industry the way people are coming into it now. As a young professional, I worked for a lot of businesses that were owned by people who had been in the industry for decades and who were generational salon owners, where their parents owned a salon and their grandparents owned barbershops and now they had their own business. So it's strange for me to see so many people coming into the industry trying to reinvent the wheel without actually reinventing it. What they're doing is putting glitter and rhinestones on the wheel and pretending that they've made something new and revolutionary. Now, as a millennial myself, I just turned 31 last week. I don't want to hate on millennials as a group, because obviously that's discrimination and generalizing in any way is wrong. But for some reason, it's only this age group that I see doing this. So when I point out millennials as the bullshit artists who are responsible for doing these kinds of things, I'm saying that based on my experience with these aspiring salon owners coming into the beauty industry straight out of college. And that a lot of them are in that age group, 25 to 35, very big on marketing and branding. And they all, for some reason, believe that they are bringing something groundbreaking. And they're doing something that's going to just really shake up the industry and disrupt it. And they're not doing anything new. I think that the influx of new people coming into our business is a great thing. And anyone who wants to come in and disrupt it is welcome to. But please, like, take it seriously. And if you're going to come in to disrupt it, do something original. Don't just repackage something that's been done for decades and act like you created it. Anyways, that's all I have for you this week. I hope you found this broadcast informative or at least mildly entertaining. My next article will be the first in a two-part series about accountability in the salon. Both are written for salon owners and professionals, so keep an eye out for that. If you didn't notice, the Salon Landlord's Toolkit is now available in the download store. If you currently rent space to professionals in your salon, or you're considering renting space to professionals in the future, you'll definitely want to check that out. I also want to take a quick second to thank all of you who have been writing to me about the audio versions of the articles. I knew of around a dozen people who were audio learners and several who had deteriorating eyesight, but apparently there were way more of you than I initially realized. Also, to everyone who listens, thanks for your continued patience during my ongoing struggle to learn the incredibly complex field of audio engineering. I could never hope to be as talented as an actual qualified audio engineer, but I am working really hard to bring some degree of quality and uniformity to the episodes. I appreciate that none of you have sent me hate mail about it so far, so thanks. Until next time, I hope all of you have a really great week. Bye.